Hi, friends. Owen Locke and Rick Talley here from Locke & Company Distilling.
First off, we'd like to thank Sam and Jay at the Unfiltered Podcast for all they do in our industry, community, and more importantly, it's just good to work with great guys like them. Owen and I are Colorado natives. We've spent more than a decade perfecting our Aspen-aged rye whiskey, and we think it's well worth the wait. Rye whiskey usually isn't for the faint of heart, but we have to say this is hands down some of the smoothest rye on the market.
That comes from our 95% rye, 5% barley mash bill, and our unique aging process. We age our whiskey in smaller 30-gallon barrels for a minimum of 2 years, and then we finish the rye by adding hand-cut and hand-charred aspen discs harvested from our family property outside of Fairplay, Colorado. This artisanal process produces an extremely smooth rye with notes of light brown sugar, cinnamon, to balance the spiciness of the rye grain, truly delivering a taste like none other.
So, if you enjoy gold medal winning spirits, want to support small business, and need a gift for the holidays or for yourself, please consider making Locke & Co. Aspen Aged Rye Whiskey your next purchase.
You can find our Aspen Aged Rye Whiskey at many bars and restaurants and most liquor stores on the Front Range and throughout Colorado. Check us out at lockandcodistilling.com. That's L-O-C-K-E at lockandcodistilling.com. Cheers from Rick and Owen.
Merry Christmas Eve to everybody out there. Thanks for tuning in today and hopefully preparing for your holiday festivities with Jay and I. Before we get the show going, just wanted to plug real quick the 30 Days of Craftsmas Challenge. We have three or four folks out there, you know who you are, who are battling for the top three spots, but with a week left, there is still plenty of time for you to score some points and to win some prizes. Again, whenever you drink a craft beer or a craft spirit, mention the maker of that craft beer or craft spirit along with Unfiltered Craft, and then use the hashtag 30 Days of Craftsmas, and we'll get you some points, and we'll tally those points at the end of the month. We have some fantastic sponsors who are throwing in some prizes, and the stuff is showing up at my door. I'm trying not to drink the beer and the liquor that shows up. We'll see how Christmas goes. We'll see what time my kids wake me up on Christmas morning, and that will give me a better idea of how much is left to give out to you. But alas, I promise folks are getting some. Didn't have time to get to our socials with the upcoming interview with Chris Hill from Odyssey Beer Works, but if you are following us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, thank you so much for doing that. Really appreciate it. If you're not, find Unfiltered Craft and support us. We really, really do like that pat on the back. So thank you for that. Patreon subscribers, thank you. Patreon.com/unfilteredcraft. If you sign up for that, we'll send you a free koozie and probably some more free stuff that I have in my basement as I prepare to move to a new home. I need to get rid of this stuff. Beyond that, I don't have much more to share. 30 Days of Craftsmas, use the hashtag, find us on social, YouTube, what have you. Thanks to everybody who supports us. Enough talking about me and about Jay and I. Really want to hope that everybody has a fantastic holiday. For those of you who have been practicing the holiday festivities for the last few days, hope that you've had a great time. For those of you who are practicing now or will be practicing today and tomorrow and the rest of the month, be safe, be well, take care of yourselves, and we'll be back again next week. We're not taking a break, I don't think, this year. We have plenty of good interviews. That's the beauty of Zoom that allows for this. This episode, we got Chris Hill from Odyssey Beer Works on the horn, and I talked to him. Jay wasn't able to make it. Chris is a great, great friend of ours, a dude, he and Dina, that we really, really love, and you'll see that as we kind of chat through it. But he's also, when it comes to craft beer and the business of craft beer, one of the most educated, level-headed, rational people that we know, and I wanted to pick his brain. I wanted to learn about, you know, the new stimulus package that will hopefully get finalized in the next few days. I wanted to talk about, you know, what's going to happen to a brewery their size, not just here in Colorado, but across the country as we move into 2021. And as always, we kind of let the conversation just go where it goes. With that said, please welcome Chris Hill from Odyssey Beer Works. Hope you enjoy the show. Be safe. Happy holidays. Thank you for the support, and we love you all. Sugar rainbow.
For the longest time, we didn't really have a flagship, but it's the flagship has to be the Ghost Drifter by this point. That's the beer. All of our mug club, I mean, if you took our entire mug club and broke down what they drink,
yeah,
probably about half of what they drink is Ghost Drifter. It's just it's kind of the house beer around here, I guess.
What have you seen, I guess, I should reintroduce you here in a second, but what have you seen trend-wise since March? Like, is it a higher ABV beer? Like, what are people drinking? I don't think I've ever asked any brewer that. I mean, what are you seeing? Because you obviously look at it.
So, yeah, I mean, this summer, you know, as we progressed through COVID and everything else, we didn't really change our strategy that much in terms of what people are drinking.
Yeah.
But due to shutdowns and restrictions and everything else, Odyssey Beer Works, just like I think a lot of other breweries, we had some capacity in our fermenters and went, well, we love lagers and we have time on our hands. Let's put some lagers in tanks. And so we definitely ended up with a substantial amount of lagering being done, more than we usually do, just because we had the time to do it. You know, so stuff that went in the tanks in March and April, you know, let it lager for 2 or 3 months and it makes some pretty amazing beer. It was a big hit. You know, we've had a lot of compliments on the lighter profile beers that we put out there.
Were you surprised by that? I mean, knowing that you had that flexibility to kind of experiment, but
not really. I mean, I think if you talk to most brewers, you know, while everybody's chasing adjuncts and everything else, most people that have been in the game for a while, you ask them, it's like, well, making a nice, clean, crisp lager of whatever style is a dream that most people have. It's like, yeah. Oh man, if we just had enough capacity and enough time and everything else, you know, we'd all like to brew more lagers.
You can't really hide behind it either. A lager is
that's the best thing. You know, I guess undereducated beer consumer doesn't realize that a nice clean lager is one of, if not the most difficult things to make. It just, like you said, there's nothing to hide behind. If there's a flaw, you're going to see it. You're going to taste it. It's there.
That's why an AB or a Coors, Molson Coors makes the same beer over and over again. Once you've figured it out, you kind of,
I think if you ask the majority of people in the industry, at least in Colorado, aren't going to say many bad things about Coors Banquet beer.
Nope.
I know I drink a lot of it. I know a lot of my partners in crime drink a lot of it.
Yeah.
Coors Banquet, it's been around a long time and it's tasted the same for a very long time, and it's won medals and everything else. It's for a mass produced beer, it's a pretty impressive feat.
Everybody, Chris Hill is back on the show, by the way. I should now I'll introduce you. Odyssey Beer Works. Chris and Dina were on the show episode 34, so over a year and a half ago when Jay and I were on there, and Jay should be maybe jumping on, but we're talking about lagering. Talking about some basic stuff, but
Jay stopped by to pick up some beer about an hour and a half ago. So
he said maybe. I don't know what he's doing. He's running errands. To me, that sounds like he forgot to buy his wife a Christmas present.
She likes beer. That's a good Christmas present. Dina's getting some beer for Christmas.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Holy shit. Okay, so what did you see, I guess, in terms of the lager sales, the light beer sales in the summer?
What's up? I'm sorry.
What did you know? No, you're fine. What did you see in terms of the light beer sales during the summer then? Now that we're talking about it.
I don't even know if it was light. I mean, we did an amber lager that we actually just repackaged. We did it the first time. It's, for anybody that knows Yingling out there, a classic. You know, it's just an American amber lager. Yeah. We did our version of it using root shoot malt and all the good stuff, and came out delicious. You know, a lot of people that are familiar with Yingling, that our customers came in and really enjoyed it a lot, and it went pretty darn quick. So that was one that we threw back in the fermenter, made the time to brew another batch, and just so as to not infuriate the trademark attorneys. we called it Oddling earlier this year as a tribute to Yuengling. We changed it to Lodestone. We put it in cans and just released that this week. Yeah, good timing. Yeah, that one just came back again. And so here in the tap room, it's been a lot of, hey, you really liked Oddling, right? Yeah, this is the same beer with a different name. So, but, you know, we did an Italian Pilsner. We did a lot of IPLs. We did two IPLs. What else? And you have to forgive me. I feel like I don't sleep anymore. So it 5 o'clock, my brain's kind of shot.
You're fine, Chris. Where's your beer, by the way? The beers.
What's that?
Where's your beer?
My beer's right here. Oh, okay. I mean, sorry. Yes, I'm drinking my beer. Speaking of, this is our Italian Pilsner that I'm drinking right now. Carlo Sultana. heavily dry hopped with Sultana hops.
So. I like it. Yes.
Couldn't go Carlos. That's, you know, on the Hispanic side, we had to go Carlo on the Italian side. It just kind of rolls right off the tongue.
Well, it's an Italian lager. Yeah, you kind of have to.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly. So you made that. Jay and I wanted to have you and Dean on. Obviously,
Dina's working. The good news is Dina's working. So it's 60 degree day today. Sun's down, but we still have, Dina, how many tables do we have? 10 tables out there?
Yeah.
10 tables of people still braving the sundown. It's probably our busiest weekday in the last month or so. I don't know.
Can people come inside?
To go to the bathroom.
Okay. How does that work? Do they have to put a mask on, go to the bathroom, and then
walk? Yeah. I think every bar, restaurant, tap room is about the same now, where if you get up from your table, put your mask on. Okay. So, yeah, people can come in and use the restroom, but that's about it. We put a tent up outside, but we can't have two contiguous sides on it to allow for airflow. But it does help in the wind and if it's snowing or whatever. So we do have a covered space outside that we kind of heat. But it's crazy that I guess my mom was right all those years ago that you really can't heat the outside. No matter how you try, you know, it just doesn't work. So
shut the goddamn door, Chris.
So, Mom, if you're listening, yes, you were right.
Well, let me ask you, knowing that you know, where you come from, what are your friends in Austin dealing with right now? I mean, Denver is a unique place. We're not in the Midwest. We're not in the South.
Well, it's weird because if you take the state of Texas, and this is my own personal experience, you know, take the state of Texas, you kind of have to grab Austin and pull it out of the rest of Texas because it's a lot more, the culture is a lot more akin to Colorado.
Yeah.
The rest of the state of Texas is kind of pretended like nothing's happening. And, you know, so there's still a lot of non-mask wearers and in Austin, I mean, again, you know, they're still having 75 degree days there.
Yeah.
So outdoor seating is where people want to be now anyway.
Okay.
So it hasn't really, I think you talk to cold weather states, I'm sure, you know, Michigan and, you know, all the Minneapolises of the world are probably feeling similar things to what we are is, hey, as it gets colder, this is going to be a little tougher to manage.
What are you expecting as we move into January, February in terms of, I guess, that tent?
We're hoping that it becomes more useful as extra space if we can move back to like level orange or level yellow, mm-hmm. where we can have orange is what 25% capacity at 6 foot and yellow is 50% capacity. So, you know, as hopefully as the numbers decline and as people get vaccinated, we can move to the less restrictive stages and, that'll help us a lot. I mean, honestly, we in the tent right now, we have 8 tables that are 6 feet apart. But again, it's pretty much open air a good part of the time. You know, and I don't know, I guess again, just from what I've read and what I've seen, you know, we're not going to see anything change probably until the end of January, just because we were expecting a big spike after Thanksgiving. I would imagine they're expecting the same thing after Christmas and New Year's. So that kind of puts us, you know, 3-4 weeks towards the end of January. And hopefully, you know, knock on wood, we don't see a big spike and maybe we can see some easing of restrictions.
Have you two been able to go back home at all and see family, or have you just...
Oh, no. No, her family's in Houston. Her sister's in Austin. My family's just up the road in Windsor. But my parents are both in their 80s. And, you know, I know it's a minuscule chance of us, you know, catching and transmitting something to them. But I look at it this way. We've been dealing with this for 9 months now. Hopefully it in their 80s, they're near the top of the list for vaccinations, and if we're this close, we'll wait to see them again until we're pretty confident that we're safe.
That has to be tough though, right? I mean,
it is.
So your parents are that close. I mean, what how are you guys?
I mean, well, I'd say we've been doing Zoom meetings, but my mom still can't figure out how to run a Zoom meeting. So we do a lot of phone calls. We're going to try again on Christmas Day, see if we can make that happen. No, I mean, I probably talk to them more often than usual, just see how they're doing. And frankly, they're in surprisingly good spirits. You know, I figured they'd be a little tired of all this and kind of, why are we doing all this? But they've been surprisingly upbeat about it and just kind of look into the future. You know, what was it? My dad said something about, well, I've made it to 83 years old. There's no point in dying now.
So, I like that. I like that approach.
You know, well, we'll wait till we can get together, and we will probably drink a lot of beer and play some cards and stay up all night. And who knows? I think the times will just be that much better.
What are you guys doing with the employees? Obviously, we've been talking via email and chat and stuff like that, but can you walk us through kind of March to now in terms of not just owning a brewery, but being a leader and a manager?
Oh, man, that's been a challenge because I'm a pretty – it's not hard to tell what I'm thinking or feeling. I don't really keep a whole lot of that bottled up inside. So when I'm frustrated, everybody knows it, and been frustrated a lot this year. You know, and a lot of it just comes from probably like everybody else, we were expecting to have a really good year and dealing with the ramifications of, okay, we're well into year seven, or we'll be year eight in May of this coming year. And I feel like we took a couple years back, you know, in terms of, financial health and things like that. And, you know, when we were shut down the first time, we had to, well, we didn't have to, but for the health of the business, we furloughed our bartenders, our beer tenders, which was really tough. I mean, we love those guys, and they're a big part of what makes Odyssey what it is. But they had the bonus unemployment. So, you know, it actually worked out to their advantage, and it was great that they were able to utilize that to stay financially healthy. We were thrilled to bring them back when we could, and I think they really enjoyed it. You know, when the latest round of restrictions hit that eliminated all indoor seating, Frank, I'll be honest, we were trying to wait it out, kind of hoping, I will try not to be political, that our air quote leaders would get their shit together and pass some relief, either extra unemployment or another round of the PPP loans, or, you know, something like that. So we held on for about a month and just kept looking at our numbers going, we just can't afford to keep paying these guys with less than half of our revenue. And so we let them go 2 weeks ago, which surprisingly, I guess, was harder on me than it was on them. They were all expecting it and very understanding, and left us some really nice notes and come in and still drink beer you know, but that's tough.
Let me ask you right now, because I appreciate the honesty that you provide, not just Jay and I, but the Colorado craft beer scene in general. You and Dean are so great at this. To be frank, this showed me that the country cares more about their 401k and Wall Street than they do small business. And I mean, yeah.
Oh, 100%.
But I mean, it's devastating to me as a supporter of small business. I mean, obviously, that has to be devastating to you as a small business owner, right?
Well, and I don't want to put words in someone's mouth, but I remember seeing, and this was probably a couple months ago, and sorry if I offend anyone, but Mitch McConnell at some point said something to the effect of, you know, well, the stock market has recovered brilliantly, so I don't really know how much more that we need a stimulus package, you know, that we need a recovery package. It's, you know, the stock market's doing great, so in turn, the country's doing fantastic. And it's a slap in the face to everybody who's a small business owner that's poured blood, sweat, and tears into this. And I think before we started recording, you know, I said, we're not going anywhere. It's a level of hurt. It's a level of pain that we have to endure to get through this stuff. But we've had friends, you know, that we're very close to that they've had to close their restaurants. You know, thank God we're not a restaurant. I mean, we don't have the overhead that restaurants have. We don't have the inventory that spoils that restaurants have. We don't have the equipment that costs a lot of money to turn on and have someone operate and all that stuff. So the good news is we're not a restaurant. My heart bleeds for those guys. Yeah.
At the state level and the local level, that's something we probably don't talk about enough, and I don't understand it enough, but I mean, what are you getting from the state, from the county, from the city in terms of communication?
You know, I will say the city's been really, really good. The city, the county, you know, they've offered some various grants and financial assistance through different programs, you know, helping with some technology updates, helping with winterization. I think there are four different things that you could apply for, just basically things that we're dealing with over time. So, yeah, our customers on their way to the bathroom keep making comments, so fuck those guys. but anyway, you know, there's definitely some assistance out there, and it's greatly appreciated. I mean, we've definitely taken advantage of the what's offered. It's helped us a lot. It's one of the reasons that, you know, I'm confident we'll still be around. Without that assistance, we'd probably be having a different conversation. You know,
what are you talking about? Like, I mean, just give us the details, because again, most people who listen to this are brewers.
No, I mean, like I said, you know, we're spending a lot more money on equipment to be COVID compliant with cleaning, and, you know, outside we're using plastic cups, and, you know, we're spending a lot more money on things we don't normally spend money on. I know there's some rental assistance programs out there that I don't think we were eligible for. I'm trying to think. I mean, the good news and bad news, most of these programs were fairly early on in the pandemic.
Yeah.
So most of these have been paid out 6 months ago or more. So I don't remember all the details on all of them. I just say I got really good at filling out paperwork and grant requests. You know, what else was there? There was a technology piece to it, because, you know, now we're doing table service that we weren't doing. So we bought some additional point of sale terminals mm-hmm. that we could take around with us. And
was that something you two talked about at night, or when you're sitting in the tap room? I mean,
mostly. Mostly at night. I mean, it's
who was doing research? I mean, you guys were doing it together. I mean, that's that, because
what it was me. Okay. It was me. I didn't sleep much. I mean, it was put in a day's work and then go home and put in a night's work. And
where did you find this information? Like, where did you find these grants?
I mean, the city, the Chamber of Commerce, the county. I mean, I just signed up for every newsletter, email you could. Frankly, I sent out a lot of emails to, you know, Chamber of Commerce and City Council and Economic Development and just said, hey, is there anything I'm missing? You know, anything that's out there that maybe hasn't been publicized that much, or, you know, what's out there? Yeah, I don't think I've ever filled out that many documents, maybe ever.
Chris, that's pretty crazy. I mean, that's not something that, I mean, again, the narrative at the 30,000 foot level is so different than the 5 or the 4,000 foot level, you know?
I mean, I don't know that it's any different than anybody else, you know, that owns a brewery or a restaurant or, you know, a small retail place. You know, I can't imagine what it's like to own a, you know, a knickknack shop or whatever. You know, I mean, what's the demand for that when people can't spend any time inside and you got to wear a mask? And, you know, I don't know. It's, I don't feel like it's any harder on us than it is on anybody else. It's just, we're not Amazon, we're not Walmart, we're not King Supers. You know, we got to do what we got to do to survive.
I want to ask you, because again, you're one of the smarter people that we've had on the podcast. I'm not just saying that, but you know, you know what's going on. Can you explain the stimulus package that passed to our listeners and to how it's going to affect or support not just small businesses, but craft breweries in particular?
Oh, the one that they just passed?
Yeah. How's that going to affect a place like an Odyssey Beer Works?
Well, it remains to be seen, to be honest. They did say there's another round of the payroll protection program, which hopefully will allow us to bring back our beer tenders again and frankly hire another person on the brewery side.
So what's that mean? Sorry. So that means like you'll get a check, and that check has to be used to pay those employees.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. Yeah. The way they did it the first time around is it was calculated on your previous year's payroll over that same period of time.
Okay.
It was like, okay, over these 8 weeks or 12 weeks or whatever it was, you know, show us what your payroll was, the number of employees you had, your FTEs, your full-time equivalents. And, you know, and I don't think it was 100%. It was some percentage of that they gave you as a loan that converts to a grant if you follow the rules that are established that says, okay, you need to use this money to pay those employees and have the same number of employees. And so it wasn't like, hey, we gave you this money to help you survive. It's, we gave you this money to help you survive and keep your employees on staff and help everybody out, you know, because I've said it before, it would make a lot more sense to help more businesses keep people on payroll than to just keep funneling more and more money into unemployment. I mean, I would like to think it makes more sense to have people earning money and paying taxes on that money than having people pulling from the system and not working.
That makes total sense. But I guess,
so okay. That's one big part of it. You know, and the $300 unemployment bonus for unemployed people, that is huge. You know, if you can't bring people back for whatever reason, you know, one of the hardest decisions we've made through this whole thing is when and when to not let go of people, you know, and we're small. You've been to our location. You know, we count on taproom revenue a lot, but there's no, we don't have walk-up business. We're not part of a larger network of other retail businesses.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
we're on our own, we're on an island, and it makes it a little harder to drive people here.
Yeah, for sure. That makes total. Okay. I'm trying to really pick your brain on this then. What does it do for you as a business owner tax wise? Like, does that complicate everything? Like, are your 2020 taxes going to be like, you know, like a fucking murder board where you're,
I was just talking to another brewery owner, Axe up at High Sun Brewing and we were talking today about something else and we mentioned the tax implications and both of us kind of went, yeah, our tax professionals are going to have their hands full this year, because it's like, okay, we got this loan that is eventually going to turn into a grant we're 90% sure of, and we've got these grants and we've got, I mean, I have no idea I don't know what's going to happen. And in 2 or 3 months, we'll start putting all that together. And, you know, I don't even think the federal government knows what it's going to look like at this point. You know, we've just been throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall and hoping it helps. So,
okay, let's you know, everybody's really excited about the stimulus package that passed yesterday, but
this is the least interesting beer conversation we've ever had.
I know, Chris, but I swear, like, you are one of our good friends and you know what you're talking about. So what that's, and I think I, and if we, we'll talk about beer in a second, but I, and I know you just kind of shoot the shit, but what's going to happen 3, 4, 5, 6 months down the road? And the reason they preface this, I was reading something this morning that said shit's going to get tougher even next year. You know,
I don't know. I'm definitely not more in the know than anybody else. Maybe I'm a closet optimist or something, yeah. But I think we're kind of in the worst of it right now. I really do. You know, I don't think the restrictions will get worse than they are. I think hopefully going forward, as more people get vaccinated and as spring comes around, you know, we'll have more ability to generate revenue, and so will everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, the only downside I could see, and this is one thing we were really careful to avoid, is if you did a cash grab to take advantage of every loan that was available out there, if you got yourself in a lot of debt that you can't finance, you couldn't finance before COVID hit, assuming you got back to whatever normal levels look like, if you couldn't afford that debt before, you're certainly not going to be able to afford it now. And I think that's the quicksand I hope people didn't fall into, because, you know, expecting that you're going to be 30% more than you were in 2019, maybe a false hope. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe we do get, a lot of people have pointed out, you know, the Roaring Twenties happened after the Spanish flu. That was, a lot of people kind of say the whole world just kind of decided to let loose, and maybe we'll have something like that. Maybe we'll have, you know, a renaissance, so to speak, and that would be fantastic, but I'm not putting all my eggs in that basket.
What's been the best part of this for you guys? What's been the most, we know, or 2 or 3 highlights?
We say this all the time. We met it when we chatted with you guys a year and a half ago. I mean, frankly, it's just the fucking people that come here, man. Yeah. It's the support. It's crazy. And we give you all kinds of numbers and stories about, you know, people are buying stuff we know they don't need and tipping more than they should. And, you know, it's, you know, every day there's someone that's like, hey, you know, we tell people all the time, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. You know, we genuinely appreciate your business. And when someone says, well, I mean, we have to come here, you know, we don't want you to go away. So of course we're going to show up. And, you know, we see guys out there and with their girlfriends or wives, they're in, you know, 4 layers of clothes and huddled under one of those big mushroom heaters. And it's like, oh, it's instead of 30 degrees, it's 40 degrees now, 'cause they've got that heater on them, and they're still making the best of it, you know. And we live in Colorado. That's the coolest thing about living here is, it gets cold in Colorado. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows how to put on layers, you know, everybody knows how to put on mittens and, you know, keep your head warm and all those things. So, I mean, the good has just been, shit, we brewed a lot of really good beer this year.
Yeah.
And we've had amazing community support.
All right. What are you learning now, knowing that you're going to survive and be okay? You're moving into 2021. What happens now? Like, what for Odyssey Beer Works? Like, what do you think? What did you learn that you will take forward and kind of use to expand, or you know?
You know, I think we learned, and I knew this going in, but there's some things where we want to walk before we start sprinting. One of the things we learned is in June of 2019, we bought a new canning line from Wild Goose. I think I'm even wearing their hat
today. Nice hat, nice brand.
We just We packaged 300 cases of our Ghost Drifter Pale Ale today. So we got a canning line that kicks ass. We bought a labeler for that, okay. Which frankly just was kind of a lifesaver during the first part of COVID, because now we can design and print labels in a week or two. So some of the beer that we've been doing that we didn't usually put in packages, now we're like, oh, well, let's throw that into some cases and see how it sells in the tap room. And I'll be honest, it makes me really happy when people call in and are like, oh, we wanted some of the Clan Warrior. Yeah, well, that sold out. You should have come earlier, you know. And just driving a little more demand by putting out smaller amounts of highly desirable product, you know. And it's good. It's good to not have beer sitting around. It's good to drive demand. And we've done some really cool stuff this year. So if you haven't come in, you're missing out.
I know. I keep wanting to, I need it up there. I gotta keep kind of asking you though, explain the logistics and the economic logistics specifically of owning your own can line. Can you do those kind of small run things when you?
Yeah. I mean, okay. You know, we try not to do anything smaller than like 50 cases, because it's just too much time setting up and tearing down and cleaning up and everything else. You know, it's not necessarily a good use of time to do small, super small canning runs, but you know, it's fun for us. Number one, that's something that's cool to just say, hey, we have a small quantity of this stuff out here. And you know, the logistics of, I'm sure everybody in the industry is aware of the great aluminum can shortage that's going on. And you know, that's been logistically challenging to source cans from multiple places and try to make sure we don't run out. You know, if we run out of cans, that's a big hit to us. That's a major source of revenue for us. And you know, ball manufacturing here locally, they're inundated with orders and requests. So it's weird. You know, everybody had to change their business model. And if you can't sell beer in a tap room, what do you do? Well, you put it in cans and try and sell it that way. So everybody was kind of moving from bottles to cans. You know, the shift has gone like this over the past 10 years since Oscar Blues kind of kicked that off with a bang. So even though it was moving in that direction anyway, with the pandemic, it just sped that up a hell of a lot faster than anybody thought.
Now, can you explain to me the variety pack and what a place like your size has to do to have a variety pack? Is it hard to do, or is it easy once you have a canning line?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to plan ahead. I mean, that's the big thing. I mean, it just takes some planning, because you're trying to we're a small production brewery. I mean, we're not constantly churning over the same brands over and over. It's okay, well, we need these three brands to come out at relatively the same time, put some aside, you know, to put in the mix packs. We do it all here in-house right now. So, you know, we want to have beers within a couple weeks of each other. And we have to code everything so we know which, you know, if we ever do have a problem, we're like, okay, that was that batch. And there's some hoops to jump through, but it's manageable. Okay. But what? I mean, it's more sourcing of things. It's just another level of planning.
What changes in terms of laws, regulations have been made that you think will stay for good? Is it that, you know, Odyssey delivery van is never going to go away?
Yeah. You know, that's a really good question. You know, I think one of the pushbacks initially when this all started was, okay, well, what's the negative of allowing us to sell, you know, through delivery service, and having, you know, bars or restaurants be able to sell to go beer? I personally just haven't heard a whole lot of, oh my God, this horrible thing happened. So if there's not a lot of negative, I mean, well, another person who shall remain nameless was like, you know, we implement all these rules and restrictions and legislation to prevent bad things. Well, and when you peel those layers back and those bad things don't happen, what does that tell you? It tells you it's probably over-legislated or over-controlled or whatever. You know, I don't think the bars and restaurants in Old Town Arvada being able to sell to-go beer had a negative effect on us. I don't think us doing delivery had a negative effect on anybody. You know, I think us doing delivery is people that were going to come in here and buy beer anyway, now just can sit in their living room and order it and we take it to them. Just a convenience factor, not really a shifting of, we're not taking a piece of pie from over here and moving it into this piece or that other pie. That was a terrible analogy. Sorry.
It wasn't. It was good. I mean, I think you're not the first person who's told me this. It really has shone a light or shined a light on distribution model of Colorado.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And some of the issues with that, because again, why couldn't you and a Talnua and a New Terrain get together, right? And just, you know, buy a couple of vans and take care of everything yourself. There's no reason why that's not possible. And that's well, and I get it. Yeah.
You mentioned Talnua, and we're good friends with them. They were over here visiting with us yesterday, and we have some beer and barrels of theirs. And anyway, we're good friends with those guys. And when all this started, some of the differences in laws that apply to various entities were just kind of ludicrous. I mean, it was. So if you were a restaurant, you could sell mixed cocktails to go out of the restaurant. So, okay, you want a margarita, we made a margarita, put a cap on it, out the door you go. But Talnua, being a distillery, couldn't do the same thing.
No.
Their license didn't allow them to make cocktails with their own product and sell it to go. And I that changed. But when all this started, it was kind of one of those, I'm a brewery, I have nothing to do with distilling. But seeing the negative impact it had on them, it was like, this is stupid. It just dumb. It made no sense.
Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Hold on. I got, my kids are knocking at the window. I'll be right back. Give me 30 seconds.
Good. I need Gina to get me a beer.
So I guess
that was fortuitous timing. I went to go get a beer while you were doing that.
That's poor. Not a lot of head either. So I guess, I mean, you know, as we kind of move out of this and everything, where does an Odyssey Beer Works, where does a, you know, that kind of somebody of your size, which make up the vast majority of breweries in Colorado, where do you put your money? Is it in terms of lobbying? Is it in the Colorado Brewers Guild? Is it in Shawnee? Like, what happens now to make sure that stuff doesn't get reversed?
No, I'll say the Guild has been fantastic. In my opinion, the Colorado Brewers Guild stood tall during all this. They lobbied heavily for us. They were a great source of information. And you mentioned Shawnee. Those people that don't know Shawnee, she is freaking amazing. And she kind of, I don't want to downplay anybody else's role, but she kind of was guiding the ship on her own for a good part of the
time. Literally, yeah. I mean, yeah. They let go of Tristan, and she did the marketing and everything else.
Yeah, and then, but unfortunately, they had to let Tristan go, you know, and that sucked. Anybody that knows Tristan knows he was awesome, and that was terrible. The Guild has done great things for us, and you know, where do we put our money going forward? I mean, honestly, I'm hoping we put it back in the bank where it's all been bleeding out of. Because anybody that knows running a brewery is not an inexpensive endeavor. And we are, I would call us a small, very small packaging brewery in the state of Colorado. And you've been here, we're bursting at the seams in terms of capacity. You know, we'd like to expand our production capacity, and equipment isn't cheap, and it hasn't been the year to buy that stuff. Maybe 2021 is maybe towards the end of the year. You know, we'll see how things go, but yeah, we definitely have growth plans. I mean, we're not looking at, you know, turtling and just hoping this all passes. We're making plans for a brighter future. And, you know, I firmly believe we'll get there sooner rather than later.
What happens to food trucks? What have you learned from this? I mean, knowing that you guys use a lot of food trucks, and that's something we kind of overlook.
The symbiotic relationship between breweries and food trucks, you know, everybody that visits breweries, tap rooms knows food trucks kind of go with, they're part of the game. And it sucks for those guys. I think food trucks, it'd be interesting to see what their answer is, because the ones that we like and have a lot of respect for and have done well for themselves, you know, their business model changed significantly too. It was, oh, we've been hanging out at this apartment complex that let us come by, or an office complex, or
at the park in my neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, those guys had to adapt too. And I mean, in some cases, they're probably making better money than they were at certain breweries. And, you know,
fewer drunk people.
Will we be able to get them back?
Me too.
Will we be able to get them back? I don't know. I mean, that remains to be seen. You know, right now, we struggle to have food trucks here because today has been a fantastic day. I mean, I'll be honest, you know, not pre-COVID fantastic, but it's in the last month, this is one of our better weekdays, which is why you haven't seen Dina's smiling face on here. But, you know, I will say another adaption is one of our favorite food trucks, the G-Wagon. He makes phenomenal food. And fairly early on, he came to us and said, if it doesn't make sense for me to be there, how about I will give you guys a panini press to use? And I have a commissary, you know, he works out of a commissary. So he made paninis. And every two or three days, he checks in and says, okay, how many do you need? And so, you know, it's all legal. It's all above board. It's all according to regulation. You know, we don't prepare the food. We just heat it up in a panini press that he provided to us.
Yeah.
So it works for him. It works for us. And it's such a simple idea, but I didn't think of it. Jordan, or the food truck guy, was like, oh, I love you guys and want to help out however I can. And you know, we sell quite a few of them every day, and it's been a great relationship.
That's so smart.
Yeah.
Holy shit, it's genius.
So if that's not legal, you didn't hear this, and just but as far as I know, we don't touch the food. It's all prepackaged. We just heat it up in the package with the press. It's already cooked, so just it's all above board. Dina's like, it's all legal, so.
Mom, meatloaf. Yeah. Okay, there's one more question. Now I can't even remember what the hell it was. You feeling good about everything? You feeling about 2020? You're 2021. You're feeling okay?
I'm definitely more optimistic than I was 4 or 5 months ago. Okay. You know, as the lockdown ended and we were able to have a lot of outdoor seating throughout the summer, and we, you know, for a good period of time, we had 50% capacity in the tap room.
Yeah.
You know, our numbers were good. I mean, honestly, we adapted. We expanded our outdoor seating quite a bit. We had more people on staff to accommodate table service. And, you know, like I said, when all this initiated, I'll be honest, I was like, how the hell are we going to survive this? You know, what is this going to do to us? And I said, now it's just a matter of it's the amount of pain that we have to endure. We're going to endure it. It's just, how bad does it suck? until we get to the other side.
When did you embrace the suck? Like, at what point in 2020 did you and Dina go, all right, we're going to be okay, but this is going to be really hard?
You know, honestly, we just kind of felt like things were getting better. So in terms of embracing the suck, you know, through October, it was very upbeat. It was like, okay, we've hit the low point where we're coming up. We're doing, I mean, September and October were great for us. And then we hit November, and you know, you always had that in the back of your mind, like, oh, everybody's predicting that the COVID numbers are going to go up and we're going to go back into a shutdown. And so that's always in the back of your mind. But you know, when it hit in November, it was like, pardon my language, it was like, son of a bitch, you know, we're so close to make it through to the other side. And okay, well, you know what happened the first time, we're going to just have to hunker down and get through it again. So, you know, it the fear wasn't the same in the fourth quarter as it was, you know, heading out of the first quarter. You know, it was, that's probably not, I don't
like
know if
that.
I answered your question.
I like that. No, that's good. You know, you were down 15 at the end of the first, and you kind of fought your way back.
Right.
Now it's okay. We got a ball game at the end of the first. Yeah.
Yep.
That makes total sense. One last question. You can be as frank and as honest as you want.
This is recorded. I don't know if I can do that.
What have you thought about Governor Polis's handling of this? And the reason why I ask is this, like, you know, it's been a lot of other states across the country and friends across the country.
I think it exposed some things about him I didn't know when I voted for him.
Okay.
Mainly being he's unfamiliar with the brewery and tap room concept in general.
Yeah.
And frankly, its impact and influence on Colorado's economy.
Yeah.
I'm, to be honest, I'm dumbfounded by the apparent ignorance of one of the top industries in the state. I mean, I don't know what the current count is. We'll call it 400 plus or minus breweries in the state of Colorado. And you've never been to a tap room? When all this started, and again, I'm paraphrasing, but I had the impression that tap rooms were being equated with nightclubs. You know, like, we're all mingling amongst each other and everybody's, you know, in close proximity and drinking to excess and, you know, all that stuff. And I, for me, the frustration was just like, have you ever been to a tap room? Close friends go to meet, you know, and maybe people go there on a date, you know, and it's to hang out with friends and it's to have two or three beers. We're not doing shots of Jägermeister all night, you know. I think that was my frustration. So I probably already said too much, but
no, I'm wondering, Jay and I have talked about this. I'm wondering if Hickenlooper isn't running for office, if things look differently, because knowing the relationship they have, where a Hickenlooper can jump in and be like, okay, settle.
There's been more than one conversation about, damn, if Hickenlooper was in charge of this, it would be a whole different ballgame. You know, it may not work out as well for others, but for breweries, I can guarantee it would have looked a lot different.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully it gets better, I guess, in 2021 for all of that. I mean, hopefully. I don't want to take too much more of your time. Do you have anything you want to talk about or plug? I mean, I picked your brain enough. Like, what do you want to
do? Damn, I don't know, man. I feel like this was I hope you got good stuff, because I feel like you're more challenged by this than I am. I'm looking at it as, you know what, we've been through the war, we're kind of coming through the recovery side of things, and you know, we're gonna be okay, we're gonna survive. We've still got a mess of people out there that are taking care of us. You know, what do I want to talk about? Yeah, I guess it's the good things, you know. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more cool beers coming out. You know, we're excited to, you know, when we can have live music again, we will. You know, we missed our seventh anniversary party last year, and we're not going to miss it this year. It may not be when it's supposed to be. It may be like an 8 1/4 anniversary party or something like that.
Hell yes.
But if you've ever been to an anniversary event or party, you know it. It gets pretty intense and pretty wild, and so we plan on doing that again. I don't know. We've got a good team. I think everybody's looking to the future.
It's pretty clear that you feel pretty good about that. I mean, I think it goes to show that you and Dina, you guys are, you're not just managers of a business.
I've heard from people that used to work here, and I won't mention any names, but I'm too stubborn to quit, and that's probably pretty accurate. Yeah. And as Dina will tell you, I am one of the more – I'm very relaxed until it comes to competition.
Yeah.
And I'm competitive as anybody you'll ever meet. And I just look at this as, it's – we're not going to lose. I don't have another option. That you put my back against the wall, it's not going to end well for anybody else. I'll say that.
I totally respect that. Chris Hill, I think that once we get out of this, Jay and I need to come up and do one of our first interviews with you in person.
Oh, man. We've been trying to do this one for 6 months, bud.
I know, but once it all opens up, we get you and Jordan and our favorites, the quick
hits. And Jordan was just here a few hours ago, so I would be remiss if I didn't tell him to go fuck himself. Jordan, when you watch this, go fuck yourself.
Oh, Ryan, my God.
Ryan as well.
Yes, of course, right? Yeah. Two of our favorites. Absolutely. So tell our listeners, we go to your website, and then we get here. What's the circumference? What's the area that you'll deliver?
Oh, damn it. This is when we need Dina in here. I know it's at least 5 miles. I think right now it might be 10 miles. Okay. I think it's a 10-mile delivery area. So, we're definitely, up into the Candelas area, Arvada, Wheat Ridge, Westminster for sure.
Okay.
And then probably a little bit beyond that.
Perfect. All right. Chipotle is here because I did not do a good job supporting local.
Is that what your kids were bugging you about?
Yeah. So, Chris Hill, thank you so much, my good friend. Be safe. Merry Christmas. And by the way, before I sign off here, supporters of 30 Days of Craftsmas, Odyssey Beer Works, throwing in some crowlers, which I know you're going to figure it out.
Yep.
We've got some leaders. We got 4 or 5 people who are drinking way more than they should. So that's fantastic. I've got an entire.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's my youngest one yelling. Okay, so Chris, thank you so much, buddy.
Hey, man. Hey, Sam, thanks for having me on, man. Always a pleasure. I love chatting with you guys. And dude, the next time we chat, we'll have a little lighter subject matter. I'm sure we will. I'm positive.
I'm so sorry. I just wanted to pick your brain because you are
no,
so
smart. Brother.
I know that you know what's going on. So Merry Christmas to you and Dina. Love you guys. Thank you. And be well, okay?
All right. Thanks, man. We'll talk
soon.
See you,
buddy. Take care.